Well, church, well done. Like I said earlier, I just love that. It means a lot to me to see. And for most of us adults, we did not grow up with that. So we can appreciate what it means to have that and have those words declared over them. This is the Lord's heart for every child. This is, I'm convinced, I don't care who I would be saying this to, this is what it's supposed to look like. That it's not supposed to be religious, that it's not supposed to be absent, that is to look like this, that a community gathers around a young family as they have children and blesses them and holds them up, and and that these young families have covenant relationships that they're growing up in. And so the other things that people pursue just don't matter that much when you realize the value of this. Next to a cornfield near a woods on a township road named Bethesda. You know, like, but we have pure gold. And often the precious metals are found in obscure places. So we have a sovereign gift from the Lord, our community of people and the families, our children. And I know Phyllis and I have always been grateful for that. That is what, that's was such a big impact on Ashley's life as we raised her, was the community she was born into, that she came into, that was created by us having church. And so we know what we have, and I just appreciate all of you contributing to that in the way that you did. And what a thing then to have those words to continue to speak over your child and help direct them and guide them through the steps of life. And how we don't know if those things are documented and kept. We don't know the value, if they're at hand and accessible and can be drawn from, the value they would have, they will have on their these young ones' lives. And so our little ones, they often, when I just observe them, I often get words, or I'm impacted by just watching them walk around. And I'm not sure what the meaning of this is, but did you all see Ezra leave the building? Did you all just see what he did? There's this, what do we call it? It's not an umbrella, but the parachute, yeah, that the children come and they'll worship with sometimes, and they'll gather around it. It's so neat to watch that. Ezra just walked out with it wrapped around him like a cloak, like he walked out with a, like a little Yoda or something. And I'm watching this, and I'm not sure what I'm seeing, but I know I'm seeing something. So if anybody has anything beyond that, but it was just, he was cloaked in it. He was covered in this colorful garment, you know, that became a garment. He took an object and made a garment out of it and had himself cloaked with it and walked out. So I love what they do and the things they demonstrate in their innocence. It's just so neat. So if anyone wants to enlighten me at any point, but I watch things and I go, there's something on that. I feel so blessed. Last week I talked about Thanksgiving. And I came to that from earlier identifying, returning to the Lord's Prayer. And I've been coming back to some very elemental things. And in your walk with the Lord, nothing ever grows old. You keep getting revelation about the simplest things, which is what makes this so alive. That will continue on into eternity, you understand. We'll continue to get revelation. So you don't just get smart and then go to heaven. Well, it's important to get that. You can have that mentality. Like, you get there, it's like understanding and revelation, just it continues. And then face to face, but we'll continue to see and see the depths of the cross and see the depths of who Jesus is and see the depths about our Father. And I had the light of Revelation just shine on the first two words of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father. And all of a sudden, it changed the whole prayer, and I understood the instruction in it and the elements that were there, and that memorizing and quoting the Lord's Prayer is awesome. It's perfect. It's the Word of God. But it was given to instruct us to understand how to pray, so every phrase and every line has meaning, and you really can pray when you pray according to the revelation, and it's in things, and each section and each word. And it begins by Our Father. And who says Father? Children. Children identify a person as a father because of the relationship. And so how do we pray? We pray as sons. We the whole thing, like, it matters what position you're praying from and what location you're praying from. We pray from earth to heaven. Our Father is in heaven. And then we have authority as sons to bring what's in heaven to earth. So you read through and you see that clearly. You see these elements in the Lord's Prayer. So that led me to, as I've been getting more, I've just been drilling in this, like going deep in this revelation of the Father and growing in that. I love relating to God as Father. And see this segment in Colossians, and I was aware of the passage, of course, that the fullness of deity dwelt in Jesus, that the fullness was in him. And after I preached a message several weeks back, Kevin texts me and he goes, hey, like, look at these scriptures. So I re-looked at Colossians. Let's go there quickly. And because I just was fascinated with this, several weeks I was talking about this. I'm just really enjoying pressing into the relationship of the Father as a son. And in chapter 2 of Colossians, it's talking about the mysteries of God. And verse 2, it says, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of the Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So there's just, it just is awesome to relate to him as Father. And his goal is that nothing would separate us from him. That's his desire. Nothing. And the enemy's goal is to let anything, to cause things to separate us from him. Especially our stuff, especially our failures, especially our disappointments, especially our offenses, especially our sin, especially all. And so we have a Father in heaven who says, I've paid the greatest price to make sure nothing comes between you and me. Make use of that. So there, as we're sitting here, if you have embraced Jesus as Lord and Savior, then there is nothing to keep you separated from the Father, the relationship with the Father, closeness to the Father. It is a term of closeness. Understand this. When he instructed us to pray this way, he's saying, this is what I want. I want that relationship with you. I want to be your Father. If your earthly father relationship is whacked out, sometimes people have whacked out relationships, then cut that off and take a second and examine the real thing. Like, look at the original. Sometimes we end up with a counterfeit and we go, darn, you know, this isn't worth anything. But that doesn't excuse you from looking at the original and go, well, what's it supposed to look like? And our Father's revealed himself through his Son. So what if nothing can separate you, and anything that's going on, especially in your heart, you determine, I'm all messed up right now. I'm a hot mess, but I'm not going to let that separate me from him. Father, you see, you already know the mess I just made yesterday, so you already know where I fell short. You already know what my strongholds are, that thing I can't seem to get right no matter how hard I try. So I don't really need that to be a separation between me and you. Will you help me with that? So now you're taking your very failures and you're using them for conversation. How many of you, do you reject your children when they come with real honest, like, I made a mess, I screwed up? I mean, that'll turn almost any father's wrath into, aw, let me help. I can help you. Stay close to me. I'll help you with that. I'll walk you through that. And then all the promises that he has, I'll give you grace for that. If you come and draw near to me, I'll lift you up. I will help you. We're in this battle to guard over our hearts that they don't grow cold and hard. And the elements that cause that, often they're not the big things, they're the little things. Or if you refer to this funeral that we did with Rosita's mother, Saba Jones, and she battled cancer and overcame that, and she died of the flu. And I said, it's the little things that get you. The flu caused respiratory complications, and just like that, she was dead and dying. It's often the little things that get us. So having said all that, this journey, drawing near to the Father from the moment I awaken, entering into just a greater, like nothing separates me. I wake up with the stuff, the heaviness, the whatever. I'm probably the only one in the room, but anyways, why embrace that? And that's about focusing on myself. That's about being aware of what feels good, what doesn't feel good, how I'm doing, evaluating myself. I mean, it happens with the moment consciousness arrives, before the sun comes up, that's there. And over the day that I just awaken, and that doesn't even, it's not even in the bedroom. It's not there anywhere near me. But to battle that, to not waste a moment, and it's been so liberating. I don't have to figure out myself. I don't have to work it out. I don't have to fix it. I don't have to change it. I can just draw near to him. Father, I just draw to you. I just get close to you right away. And then I'm learning these elements. These elements are coming. They're the simple things. But one of the ways to immediately battle that is to just have a thankful heart. And so last week, I hit on just 3 points. Thanksgiving is a simple subject. It's a deep subject. But it changes us. It deals with entitlement. It deals with all kinds of stuff in us. And that number one, just a quick review, 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, it's the will of God. Rejoice, pray without ceasing, in every and everything give thanks. And then the tagline, this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Want to know what the will of God is for you? To rejoice, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks to the Lord. That's the will of God. You do that. The questions whether to buy the red car or the blue car, the big house or the little house, this state or that state, all of those become immaterial because you're living in the will of God, and those things will get, you'll be directed by the Spirit. You can trust. There, that was free. Number two, thanksgiving sanctifies, and a reexamined a scripture kind of jumped off a page, 1 Timothy 4:1-5, that this argument about food, what's good food, what's bad food, what's, you know, food sacrificed to idols, do I eat that, do I not eat that, you know. And the scripture concludes with this, that everything that you receive with thanksgiving is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. And so whatever you're struggling with today, even at this moment, if you get thanks for it, it becomes sanctified to the Lord. If you give thanks for it in Jesus' name, it's immediately set apart. You want your stuff sanctified, eh? You want your car to be sanctified. You definitely want your wife and your husband to be sanctified. I mean, they're really rough to live with if they're not sanctified. Like, you know, get them fixed. Here's how. Give thanks for them. How about this one? When's the last time you thanked the Lord for your personal body? Not what I was thinking. I looked in the mirror this morning. That's tough, you know? But applying this principle, it's right here in Scripture, that your body becomes sanctified, set apart, because you give thanks for it. Father, I thank you for the body that I have. I thank you for this face, this hair, lack of hair, this height, this lack of height, this, you know, this muscle, this lack of, you know. these curves, these lack of curves, this, you know, give thanks for who you are. We're all wonderfully and uniquely made from the time of our conception. So giving thanks changes, can change you. We're all struggling with viruses that are going around and all of this stuff. Give thanks. Give thanks for yourself. That's legal. Ask that it be sanctified. Sanctify me. Because it makes all the difference in the world. And thirdly, last week, enhances my awareness of God in James 1:2. Count it all joy when you fall into various, you know, temptations. Why? Because we know the effect of the trials. The effect is it changes you, transforms you. So you can give thanks for that. So you can give thanks for everything, in all things, for all things, because there's nothing the enemy can throw that the Lord can't turn and transform and make something new. So turn with me to Psalms 100. If you've been in the church for any length of time, going back 25, 30 years, this was one of our, you know, I moved out of singing hymns in my early days to, what were those? We learned some choruses. I don't know what category to put the choruses in that we would learn. It was a step up from the hymns, a little more personal, a little more intimate, kumbaya, et cetera, you know, that stuff. And then we came into this new thing, you know, Phyllis and I, when we were young and just getting started into this, in the late 70s, the scripture songs. And oh, thank you, Jesus. These were wonderful. They were actually scriptures put to music. There were just tons of them. And here was one. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his, you know, his courts with praise. We sang it till we were blue in the face, but we only had a couple of them. So we wrote them hard, you know. We'd get on our guitars and, you know, away we'd go. We'd dance around and, you know, do things. Do what we knew to do. We got here from there. So look at Psalms 100. It's so familiar. Sometimes these familiar passages are hard to go back to. But listen, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. So there identifies the destination, the presence, the place of presence, the place of worship. That's a destination. That is a destination. That's a destination vacation. Like that's where you want to get to. Because when you enter into the presence, life changes big time. And the more, let's just say it. Let's just admit it. Let's just accept it. There are many levels of the presence of God. There's the one that you can't feel, that true walk by faith. That's a tough one sometimes. I'm living in the presence of God. Feels a lot like swampland, dragging my feet through mud. But, you know, the word scripture says I'm blessed. Like, okay, this is it. God's all around me. The word says he loves me, cares for me. He never leaves me nor forsakes me. It's the truth. I know it is. You know, you're pounding that into yourself. Then there are levels where, whoa, you are just like everything is heightened and you are so aware and so blessed and so you're shaking, you're having physical manifestations of it. And it may be uncomfortable for everybody else, but if you're in it, it is wonderful. I love it. It's great. So the presence is the destination to come to that. Moving on, knowing in verse 3 that the Lord, he is God, it is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. That is a position. It's a posture. It's important that we maintain that. God, people that are godless do not have this posture. That is what's wrong. So this is a big deal. If you're a person that you're able to embrace that and say yes to that, you're in a good posture. If you can say yes to this, that you know that the Lord, he is God, it is he who made us, not we ourselves. So we are creator or creature? Creature. Stress is off. I don't have to make anything else. I don't have to, you know. I'm created. He's the creator. I'm created. He's the one that's writing the instructions. I'm the one following the instructions. And life and joy has to do with lining up with that and flowing with that. Verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving. So that's what I shared on last week. Thanksgiving, so important, so powerful. So imagine a place, heaven, the Lord's realm, Lord's presence. There are three things here. The first is the gate. Enter through the gate. It's the boundaries of this presence. So the first thing to encounter, I picture really beautiful properties, big or small, and like it's a really nice property if it has a what? Beautiful gate, like nice gate. Pillars, wrought iron gates, they can be beautiful. And what does it identify? It identifies this is where you enter. This is the borderland. This is the place you come here because this is the entrance and you come through these gates. And for us, the gates are open. But the instruction is enter the gates with thanksgiving. That's how you come in. If your children come into the household or your husband or wife or whoever you live with, you know, whoever else is in the house, come in with bad attitude and complaining and where's dinner and da-da-da. Not a good way to gain favor, right? You're like, you, get the shoes off, pick up your room, do this, do that. You know, like, don't come in like that. But man, your children come in and go, oh, Mom, I've waited all day to see you. You're like, aw, you're thinking about me, really? Oh, yeah, what can I do to help? Where's my child, you know, and what have you done with them, you know? But what a difference when someone comes in with that. I mean, this whole message today, what I want to... Wow, we had a lot of fun today and it's getting late. I don't want to be talking about a church service or church context. I want to be talking about your personal life. I want to be talking about what goes on inside your household. What goes on in your private world and what goes on in your house. Thanksgiving, you enter in with thanksgiving. It is how you should enter. Don't forget this. We can get careless and forget this. This is a principle to enter into this place that is presence. And number two, going on, be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy, and into his courts with praise. So the gates, the thanksgiving, and the courts are praise. So you have gates, court, the realm around, the inner place, and then the presence in the innermost place. So it's easy to picture the reality of almost every property has that, has gates, the place to enter, then the court, the yard, the place where activity goes on, and then there's the innermost place of that property, the household, the innermost place. So we want destination is to get into the house. Coming through the gates with thanksgiving. The second is the courts and it's praise. And so we've been really looking at this here just recently. Phyllis and I have been doing more and practicing this place of praise and rejoicing. And if you're emotionally challenged, as I can be sometimes, like I'm serious, you know, always serious. I worry about stuff. I should. You know, I don't know. Where we get that at? We're not being sons and daughters. We're being adults that are carrying stuff. You're like, don't bother me. I got a lot on my mind. When's the last time you said that and you were proud of it? Don't mess with me. I've got decisions. How, you know, it's like maybe the people in your life should be, how about you chill out and get happy for a little bit? I bet the problems they'll get a lot smaller just by you doing that. It's true. We get so caught up in, I got to worry about this. I got to fuss about this. I got to call 10 people about this. Not pray. No, can't pray. I got to fix this, you know? I got stuff to do. I got stuff to deal with. And we carry the heaviness, and we're not drawing near to the Father, and we're definitely not thankful. We've forgotten that. And so we have that. The praise, if we understand the value of it, it breaks the darkness. It can be a tool to break the very oppression we're wanting to lift off. Because once the oppression's off, the answers just flood in. Do you understand? I was doing something in my study a week or two ago. I've got 3 computers, laptops, all because whatever. They're old, and oldest, you know, that kind of thing, because this has that on, but it can't go to this and this. And it's ridiculous. And then 2 printers, because this doesn't print on that. And this. So it's someday I'll get it all worked out. But it's kind of funny. They're in layers. And the printer that goes with this older laptop wasn't working. And everything I tried to do, I tried to align it, I tried to do this, tried to do that, I couldn't get it to, it was like bad stuff. I have a brand new printer, but it only works with this computer, that kind of thing. So I'm fussing, I'm stressed, because it was something important, I forget what it was that I was doing. And I finally, Phyllis came into the room, and I'm just like, I gotta walk away from this. I walked into the bedroom and just kind of laid out on the bed, just relaxed. And I no more than laid down, and though the printer wasn't saying anything about the ink, I'm like, I should change the cartridge. Well, yeah, I know that's obvious. Did you check the gas in the tank? Well, no, it can't be that. Just check it. I had a whole tow truck come and pick up my truck one day. The gas gauge was off a little bit. It was empty, but I didn't know that because I didn't believe it, you know? They hauled it to the mechanic. He goes, Rick, I think you're out of gas. I'm like, I get up, walk in, I change the ink. You know, I had more ink. It's just that hadn't been that old, and it shouldn't have still begun, you know, like my whatever. I changed it, boom. One moment of just resting, and ding, you know, the lights came on. This is what happens when, number one, we're thankful, and number two, we praise and we rejoice. I won't have you time. I gotta wrap this up. Zephaniah chapter 3:17. Many of you know this scripture, and it's a scripture about the Lord rejoices over us. So this rejoicing and the shouting, it's reciprocal. He rejoices over you. He rejoices over Israel. He rejoices over you. He sees you. He loves you. He dances over you. You're like, what? You do? Yes. I'm excited about you. On the day that you were born, we all gathered and we had a party. I'm excited about you. Yeah, but I didn't do anything yet. I was just messy. Oh, yeah, but we rejoiced over you. On the day that you were born. And we rejoice over our little ones as they grow. They don't do anything well. They make messes. They break things. They whatever. And we go, oh, how cute. It's not as cute when they turn into teenagers and do the same thing, but that's beside the point. But we rejoice over our children when they're appropriate in their, we're like, we don't expect them to be grown-up adults, astronauts yet. They're our babies. They're our children. They're cute. He rejoices over us. So let it be reciprocal that we rejoice over him, that we rejoice, that we shout, that we sing, that we release this, and that we practice this, because it's a big deal, and I'm not going to get enough time. This is going to be, we're going to be back here next week. Only I don't know how to get out of here without making a mess, so. Isaiah 42 is a whole chapter about the islands and the coastlands and the nation, that all shouting, giving praise to the Lord from the mountaintops, from every place. The shout breaks things. And so Phyllis and I have been meditating and sharing this back and forth on this subject back and forth. And she's more free at it than I am. But we've both been doing it. I'm like, get over yourself, Rick, just do it, you know. She'll be sitting on the couch, you know, she goes, praise the Lord, you know, and I'm like, yeah, let's do that, you know. So I'm working on my, you know, stuff. And we had this awesome snow day. I hope I probably many of you had to go to work. I got to stay home. It was wonderful. Yeah. And it's still early in the morning. The snow is just this quiet, just coming down. And I was back where I get my wood on the back of the house, you know, stepped out to get wood. And what is it about snow when it snows like that? It almost gets silent outside. Like all the normal noises, I don't know, they don't get through. There's this beautiful, like, silence, and snow's falling, you know. And of course, we've been listening to a praise song, an old Morningstar song. We downloaded it, we're playing that and singing that. And I go out. And I let it rip, like, out through, and our house fills it, so it was out through the woods, and snow's coming down. And I just released this praise, singing the song, singing the words to this song. And it just reverberated the whole woods, like, boom. I'm like, ooh, cool. Did it again. I was like, the neighbors somewhere out in the woods are going to think, what is that sound? But it doesn't matter. And I released it pretty soon. Phyllis came out and joined. We sing this song, and we released it over the land. Now, when you start to understand the power of your praise and of the shout, you'll do it more often. Because the promise out of Isaiah 42, we'll go over this in more detail next week, is that the Lord comes. Now, we need him to come, because when he gets moving and he comes and he's doing things, and we go, how do we fix this? And how do we overcome that? How do we deal with whatever? Praise the Lord. Release a shout to him, and he comes. When he comes, he brings answers with him. He does not come without stuff. He comes and he's orchestrating before you, and he fixes it. He does things that we're like, how do we fix this? I know. Let's get angry. Let's get mad about it. Will that help? No, but at least we're, you know. But become being a people, like, this is our land. I can't tell you how many times when I'll be up here or be somewhere, and I praise when it's just by myself. I'm aware I'm releasing something. We keep releasing something. We keep releasing something. And it affects our land. It affects our territory. And we broke through to have this place and have this meeting place on this hilltop. That, I mean, it was like a fight to get here every step of the way. But here we are. And we erected an altar. We this happened. The Lord graced us to do this. And it was from the praise and from the worship and standing and owning back this land. And even this county was known for corruption and different things. What if all those things exist because we aren't releasing a praise? We aren't doing our thing. Again, the instruction's so clear. Just start reading Psalms and every other couple words is shout, praise, sing, dance. And it's not conditional when you feel good, when you're having success. It's just do it. Do it because it draws the Lord. It draws him to the situation. He comes then. It releases him because it is the created crying out to the Creator who's in heaven. Only we're here and we have authority to be here and to declare and to change atmospheres by our declaration. And then out of that, you do what the Lord instructs you to do. And it changes things. It transforms things. And I don't want you to think in the context of our corporate. I want you to think in the context of your household. When it's you and the Lord, to release a shout, to release a praise. Because we're headed for a destination. The destination is his presence. To abide in his presence, to enjoy his presence, to come into that place, to get in that place. And this is the avenue to get there. And it breaks off stuff. So I haven't had time to develop this today, but I want you to consider. This isn't a message from me. This is a word. It's a word from the Word. And unless you go, no, that's not a word, then okay, you're excused. But if you acknowledge that it's a word from the Word, then the question is, what can you do to say yes to it? Don't you know, we're guilty. We nod our head. Oh, that's a good word. What are you going to do about it? I don't know. And all of our excuses, I've got a ton of them. So I don't think anybody has me beat on excuses for why I don't express myself in this way, especially when I'm concerned and worried and carry things. But all of that set aside, the word, you know, the instruction is rejoice. The instruction is praise the Lord. Don't complain about stuff. That is not a valid exercise. Don't evaluate yourself all the time. You're going to get a crook in your neck from looking at your navel and trying to figure out, where did I come from? Like, how did I get here? I'm telling you, I've spent a lot of time doing that. You never get anywhere, but in this vicious cycle, you know, you're the little doggy chasing his tail. Did you go for a walk? No. I'm worn out, though. All of creation groans for the manifest sons and God, for the sons and daughters of God to come. Like creation, our existence stops the abuses, stops things, unveils the evil deeds done in darkness. It's the body that needs to rise up. It's the sons and daughters that need to rise up, not as a religious organization, but as a body, an organic family, the sons and daughters rising and coming up. So let's take a moment, close your eyes. I don't know what you do when you, but I just want you to, I want you to consider this, consider the question for yourself. What can you do to change this? What can you do to obey this? That would be a better word. What can you do to obey this exhortation? Exercise giving thanks. Exercise praising and blessing people around your life. And exercise praising the Lord. What would it look like if you were able to take a whole day and praise the Lord all day long? Like every moment that you had that you weren't occupied with something, to be in praise of Him. Just praise, just a test to meditate on His goodness. See, that's what you do. You remember what He's done, what He's done for you, what it's written that He's done, who He is, and you just give a testimony to that. Lord, You're so good. You're amazing. I know how patient You are with me. Wow, You're so patient. I just praise You. I bless You. You're long-suffering. I've got a short fuse. You just keep working with me and waiting for me to get it right. You're amazing. Have this interaction where you praise the Lord. And you just get up above the stuff and the things aren't going right. And I'm having a bad day. It doesn't matter. He isn't a bad day. He's always good. He's always worthy of His praise. And it transforms your day and transforms your purpose. So, Father, I ask for grace today by Your Holy Spirit to give us grace to release praise in our households, to release praise and rejoicing in our innermost, in our secret, private places, the meditations of our heart, the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, let them be pleasing, acceptable to You. All of creation's waiting for You to release praise. All of creation's waiting for You to entice the light, to entice heaven. Prepare the way of the Lord. This is how we prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. Break through with praise. Hold up banners of the Lord's love and declarations of who He is. Get beside yourself. Get outside of yourself. Get over yourself. Aren't you tired of being so inhibited? We're so fearful. I love these words to Ryder this morning about no fear. Oh, I know all of you are like, yeah. To live a life with no fear. to live a life where the enemy has nothing on me. Wow, that's accessible to us, all of us. To live without fear. Are you tired of the fear? That has to do with all that self-consciousness. Let's get free of it. Let's drop it off like bad clothes and just get up, put a new garment on, a garment of praise where you clothe yourself with praise. That's Ezra walking out with a colorful parachute over him. He covered himself with praise, the colors, the cloth, the covering. He walked out with this covering of worship, of praise. Put on a garment. The Lord wants to exchange the garment, praise, for that spirit of heaviness. Just trade it in. Somebody referred to Obama doing that exchange for clunkers, you know, the old big engine cars, and you know, you got money for bringing them in or whatever it was. And that's kind of what the Lord's saying, like, bring that junk, bring that old clunker in. I'll give you a garment of praise for it. Like, really? No, this thing is a piece of junk. It's not worth anything. It's okay. I'll take it because I know what to do with that. You don't. Let me give you something of value. Let me give you gold in place. Let me give you a garment to put on that is glorious. The garment itself is praise. Yeah. So, Father, grace us. Grace us, release us, that we can just put on that thing today in Jesus' name. Yes, yes, yes. Amen. Amen. Amen.